This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
He's been a part of the show for many years. He's a longtime writer, columnist with the New York Post, Mark Cannizzaro. He's down in Augusta covering the Masters. Also has a book out, 7 Days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters, and we bring in the great, lovely, and talented Mark Cannizzaro. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, I want to bring you into my scary mind. So, my wife and I could be driving down a highway, and it's during foliage season. And she's, oh, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this gorgeous? And I don't get it. I said, no, their leaves dying. It's not a big deal. So then I read about people that just get goosebumps when they go to Augusta. I don't get it. I don't understand why a golf course would do that. Does it do it to you, Mark?
It does do it to me, Michael. Listen, I'm a golf junkie. I know you're not a golf junkie, but it just, this place is, there's a lot to it. When you drive down here, the golf course is off a road called Washington Road, and it's the most honky-tonk. I mean, there's strip malls and chain restaurants and auto dealerships. And all of a sudden, you take a right-hand turn onto Magnolia Lane, and the sign that says Augusta National Golf Club is about the size of a cocktail napkin. You had no idea the place is here. And then you walk in, and it is literally just the most perfect golfing oasis. It's, like, so perfect. It almost, like, I know you've got young kids. I don't know if you brought them to Disney World yet.
Yes.
But it has that vibe to it, except it doesn't, you know, obviously it's not fake, you know. So it just, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit here, but it just really, there's not a weed on the property. There's not a branch out of place. And if you like golf, it's moving. It really is. And this is my 26th Masters. And every time I walk onto the grounds, I still kind of have that little shortness of breath quickly, kind of, you know, like just kind of takes your breath away a little bit.
Is it different in November?
It isn't that much different. I mean, the temperatures are pretty much the same here. What everybody's used to seeing on TV, Michael, are the azaleas in bloom, the flowers that are, you know, that are in bloom in April. Those aren't here now. I don't really much care about that. I mean, maybe that's sacrilege, but, you know, it's all about the golf course to me, and it's as green as it can be. And you know, actually, oddly enough, because it doesn't get that cold down here, there's not a lot of changing leaves falling to the ground and dying. So maybe that would help your vibe a little bit if you were down here.
When you think about that history, and you've been going there, like you said, for years and years, I guess one thing, I love the Masters, but there is something that I guess makes me feel a little bit weird, given the history of the club, I guess where it's located, even the name, the Masters, everything about it, and the fact that it's supposed to feel so old-timey. Is there a downside to that? Is there a part of you that feels in any way that the Masters or the club itself is not progressed with the times?
Peter, there's no question about it. I mean, and you know, it's interesting you say that because, listen, I mean, you know, there's a history of racism at this place. I mean, you know, the past chairman, you know, here, I mean, you don't have to go back too far around here where the only, you know, people of color that were here were working in the kitchen or caddying, you know what I mean? And that's just, you know, that's the way it's been down here, and that's no excuse for it. But so there is that kind of, that stain on what this place was back in the day, but I think that they have made efforts to progress a little bit. I mean, you know, listen, the bottom line is the membership of this place is predominantly white and powerful, rich white men, right? You know, they've brought in their members of color, and now, you know, in recent years, some women. But, you know, I mean, let's call it like it is. You know, that's not, you know, I wouldn't call this club diverse, but well,
Is that a tough conundrum for you to kind of love and be infatuated with it, but also see sort of the problematic part of it?
Maybe in a way, Peter, I would term myself as a little simplistic, because I look at this place when I come here. I'm a sports writer covering a tournament here, at a place that's beautiful. And annually, it's one of the most dynamic, exciting sporting events of the year, not just golf tournaments. So I kind of look at it that way. I don't really try to get too caught up in that stuff. You know, I think I wrote a column this week in the Post. You know, they announced that Lee Elder, who was the first man of color to play at the Masters in 1975, they brought him in here this week, and they announced that he was going to have some scholarships named after him for some local college here, and that he was going to hit the ceremonial first tee shot with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player in the next Masters in 2021, and which I thought was a really cool thing. And, you know, I thought it was way overdue that he was recognized for the impact that he had, you know, being the first, you know, black player to play in the Masters. I don't think he ever got enough recognition for what he's done. And now this is a little bit of recognition. But the thing that bummed me out a little bit was Fred Ridley, the chairman here, when we asked him, well, you know, will Lee, you know, be the honorary starter with Jack and Gary for as long as they're alive, which is kind of the way it works here. You know, before it was Arnold Palmer and you know, Sam Snead and players like that. And unfortunately, it's a one-off next year, which I thought was a little cheesy. And I did mention, you know, I made point of that in the column. Mm. You know, so, you know, yeah, yes, they had made some efforts, but, you know, have they made enough efforts? You know, I would suggest not.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so who wins this? I mean, is anybody able to beat Bryson? Is Rory complete the career Grand Slam? How do you see this one?
Well, you know what, Michael? Bryson is so much the obvious choice. And listen, we're all sports junkies, right? And sometimes I find almost more often than not in golf, the obvious choice does not end up hoisting the chalice at the end of the week. And so it almost seems too obvious when you look at what Bryson did at Winged Foot. You know, with high rough and narrow fairways, and he just, you know, he dismantled the place. This place doesn't have much, you know, really doesn't have any rough. It's got, they call it the second cut. It's like a half-inch thick. And there's, you know, there's just not a lot of trouble here other than the greens, you know, which are difficult. And so I actually wrote a column for tomorrow just basically saying I don't think he's going to win this week. I think it's too obvious. I think somebody else will win. Usually this place produces, like, a big-time name, cream rising to the top champion. Right. It's very rare when it doesn't. And as you mentioned, listen, Rory, who's not been in good form, you know, what a great story it would be, you know, if he completes a career Grand Slam by winning this. I don't think Tiger has much of a chance. I mean, he hasn't played well. He's only played six events since the restart in June, and he hasn't played well. I don't think he doesn't even have anything better than the top 37 or something. But there's so many great stories here. Dustin Johnson is number one in the world. Jordan Spieth's trying to find his game and has been lost. You know, you can go down the line. There's a lot of compelling storylines, and I think one of them will elevate by Sunday and be a cool story.
Tell me about the book, Tiger, 7 Days in Augusta. I'm sorry, Don. What's the book about, and how's it doing?
The book really is me trying to bring the reader to Augusta for the week that I'm here during Masters Week. I did a lot of chapters that weren't necessarily, you know, golf related in terms of what they've seen on TV, Tiger winning in 97 or last year, or, you know, all the stuff that's taken place. I tried to kind of blend in some, you know, what the town is like, how this place transforms. There's a couple quirky chapters about a fan that I bumped into, who've gotten to know the last couple of years, actually from Manhattan, who does just some bizarre things. You know, he's almost his ADD kind of, vibe to him. And, you know, I wrote a chapter about the Augusta Chronicle, which is kind of the Bible of, you know, it's the newspaper down here, which has been kind of the Bible and the paper of record for the Masters, and some really great anecdotes and some of the writers had, you know, of dealing with, you know, with players here. And, you know, I wrote a chapter on a restaurant up the street from here called T-Bones, which is the unofficial 19th hole at Augusta, and all of the, you know, I mean, the players and the caddies that have come through there over the years. So I just try to bring the reader to Augusta for that week that I'm here every year for the last 25 years.
Aside from no fans in the gallery, Mark, what are some of the things that will make this different because of COVID-19?
Don, I honestly think that it's done, right? It's just, Don, I think that it's not going to be that much different. I think the fan thing is going to be massive difference. I mean, there's no question about it. I think this tournament, more than any tournament of the year, you feel the fans through the television set. And certainly when you're here, you feel them. And I can't say that for most other tournaments other than the Ryder Cup. And so I think come Sunday when it's dead silent on the back nine, when you're normally hearing these crazed roars, you know, from 13 or 15 where somebody's making a birdie or eagle down the stretch, that's going to be really weird. But I think at the end of the day, the golf is going to be great. You know, I mean, you got a lot of guys in great form. Every you know, big, you know, name is here. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you're sitting on your couch drinking a beer and watch it on Sunday, it's going to be a great finish. I'm sure. I just have a feeling it's going to be one of the big names. And you're going to forget that we're in COVID and that at the Masters in November and there's no azaleas and there's no fan.
What does it mean for you guys covering it? Does it change anything at all? How will your experience be as a reporter down there?
I would say this, Peter, and I mean, I Michael, who's been covering sports for as long as I have, maybe a little longer. I get amped up by the fans at every sporting event. Like my favorite thing, you know, is being at Yankee Stadium for a playoff game, you know, or you know, Sundays at football games. That's kind of the reason why I do what I do, and I feel the same way at a tournament like this. So I'm going to be really kind of bummed out that there's no fans here, but selfishly speaking, because there's no fans here and there's so few of us in the media that are here, that they've only credentialed a very, you know, probably one-fifth, if anything, maybe less than that, of the normal credentials here, we're going to be able to roam the golf course and get closer to the action than we've ever done before. Because at most tournaments, just to clarify, we are allowed to be inside the ropes. We have an armband. We can kind of go inside the ropes. So if there's 15 deep, you know, on the ropes to watch Tiger, we could be inside of that. So we'd be close to the action. At Augusta, at the Masters, nobody's inside the ropes other than the caddies and the players. That's it. So you know, you have to kind of, you know, maneuver your way around the golf course, which I've learned how to do over the years to get your best sight lines and stuff. But now, you know, there's not going to be 35 people deep behind the 12th tee box at Amen Corner. I'm going to stand basically right behind the tee watching these guys hit balls. So, I mean, selfishly speaking, you know, it's going to be awesome. You know, we're going to see it like we've never seen it before. But, I would take it the other way around every day of the week, you know, with the electricity of the fans. Because, I mean, honestly, I don't know, Michael, I mean, that's got to jack you up when you're covering games. I mean, you'd much rather cover a Yankee game when there's 48 in the house than 15, right?
I don't know if I ever realized that until this year. The fans make a huge difference. They really do. So I agree. The book is 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. Mark Cannizzaro writes golf as well as anybody in this country. Buy the book. And as you were talking, Mark, and before we say goodbye to you, I want you to know what a pathetic human being I am. So you were describing the street, the strip mall that leads to the Masters. And I'm in my mind going, that sounds like a place I'd like, that strip mall. I'd like to see a Shoney's or, I mean, that's my living. That's me. I wouldn't
Michael,
make that turn into Augusta.
Joints. I didn't say strip joints. I said strip mall.
No, well, Don and I just talked about that to the previous segment. I don't like that, but strip malls I love.
You should live in Florida then. What the hell? We're living up where you live then. You should
sooner
live in
later.
Florida. It's all strip malls.
Sooner or later.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Masters, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, great talking to you guys. I always appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.